Hello, everyone. My name is Jody Shanoff, and I'm pleased to be your host tonight for this important update from the City of Mississauga. This is the second session the City has organized to address concerns about the COVID-19 pandemic and to inform the public about what the City is doing to protect your health and safety. We will also answer questions from Mississauga residents. Joining me this evening is Mayor Bonnie Crombie, along with a group of panelists from the City of Mississauga, Peel Region Public Health, Trillium Health Partners, Peel Regional Police, and Peel Regional Paramedics. City councilors and senior staff are also on hand to answer your questions. Before we hear more from our speakers, let me start by explaining how a telephone town hall works. Right now, residents from all over Mississauga are answering their phones and connecting to the discussion. We will hear from Mayor Crombie shortly about updates on measures by the city. After that, it will be your turn. You will have a chance to ask your questions of the mayor and our panel and to raise issues that you think are critical at this time. You can get in line to ask a question at any time by pressing *3 on your phone keypad. You'll then be put through to an operator who will take down your question and put you in line. For those of you joining us online, please type your question into the question field. Your questions will be read out loud by me, the moderator. If you have a question about issues discussed during tonight's COVID-19 information session, but don't get a chance to ask it during our call, you may find updates online. For health questions related to COVID-19, visit peelregion.ca/coronavirus. For questions about city service impacts, visit mississauga.ca/coronavirus. Our emphasis tonight will be on providing important updates and hearing the questions residents want to ask the city and health officials. Here are a few things to keep in mind when you ask a question tonight. When using your phone to ask a question, press *3 on your keypad and you'll be routed to an operator who will ask you to provide your name and the nature of your question. Please try to keep your question as brief as possible. There are a lot of people on the line and we want to try to get to as many of your questions as we can. Please ensure your question is related to COVID-19 and how the city and health officials are working to protect residents and businesses. Again, my name is Jody Shanoff, and I'm pleased to be your moderator for this telephone town hall with Mayor Crombie, staff from the City of Mississauga, and local health officials. It's my job to keep this conversation moving smoothly and to make sure we get to hear your questions and have as much discussion as possible. Before we start getting to your questions, I would like to invite the mayor and Dr. Lawrence Lowe to say a few words. Mayor Crombie, what would you like Mississauga residents to know about the work happening to protect the residents and businesses of Mississauga during this pandemic?
Good evening, and thank you for joining us tonight on our second COVID-19 Teletown Hall meeting. Tonight, we will provide you with an update on what we're doing to reduce the spread of COVID-19 in our community. We'll focus the majority of our time together answering your questions. I'd like to first thank those who have joined me on this call and have made themselves available to answer your questions. Someone you'll hear from next, Dr. Lawrence Lowe, our Medical Officer of Health for Peel Region Public Health, Michelle DeManuel, the President and CEO of Trillium Health Partners, our hospitals, Chief Nish Durapia, why do I always get that wrong, Chief? I'm sorry. Duriappa, Chief Nish Duriappa, our Peel Regional Police Chief. Chief Peter Dundas, our Chief of Peel Paramedics. Nancy Polsonelli, our Interim CAO of Peel Region. Our counselors are here in full force. Counselor Stephen Dasko of Ward 1. Counselor Karen Rass of Ward 2. Counselor Chris Fonseca of Ward 3. Counselor John Kovac of Ward 4. Councillor Ron Starr of Ward 6, Councillor Dipika Jamurla of Ward 7, Councillor Matt Mahoney of Ward 8, Councillor Pat Sato of Ward 9, and Councillor Sue McFadden of Ward 10. The city's leadership team, led by Janice Baker, our city manager and chief administrative officer of the City of Mississauga, is here with us, as well as Tim Beckett, our fire chief and director of our emergency management team here at the City of Mississauga. Gary Kent, our Commissioner of Corporate Services and our Chief Financial Officer, Paul Mitchum, our Commissioner of Community Services for the City of Mississauga, Andrew Whittemore, our Commissioner Planning and Building for the City of Mississauga, Jeff Wright, our Commissioner for Transportation and Works for the City of Mississauga. I really want to thank all of you for joining me tonight. This global pandemic has fundamentally changed the way we live, what we value, and has tested us in ways that we never thought possible. We now know this will not take weeks, but months and possibly years to overcome. We have seen how quickly the virus can spread and how fatal it can be. Cases in Mississauga have risen by over 200% over this last week alone. This has placed significant strain on our healthcare system and our economy and, of course, on cities' resources as well. We know this isn't easy. Many of you are struggling to make ends meet. Many are afraid and anxious of what the future will bring. While I can't single-handedly solve this pandemic, although I wish I could, I can provide you with some certainty and reassurance as to what we are doing as a city and as a region to keep you and your family safe and healthy. I want to thank Peel Public Health and our first responders who have been working around the clock to treat and reduce the spread of COVID-19, and of course, our medical frontline workers as well. This fight wouldn't be possible without you. I want to thank everyone for joining the call tonight, and thank you for listening closely to the advice of our healthcare professionals by staying home wherever possible and limiting trips out for just the essentials, groceries, pharmaceuticals, your medicines, gas. Your actions are making a difference and are saving lives. The unfortunate reality is that this is far from over. We heard it from Premier Ford last week. A surge is coming. With the current public measures in place, 80,000 cases are predicted in Ontario by the end of the month. While I know this is trying, we need to double down on our efforts to plank the curve, to ensure that we don't overwhelm our healthcare system, and most importantly, that we keep our family, our friends, and our neighbors, all of them, healthy and safe. So far, the City of Mississauga has activated our Emergency Operations Center and declared a state of emergency. We've closed all city facilities and canceled all programming until further notice. Canceled events at our city facilities until July 3rd through Canada Day. Closed parking lots and facilities such as playgrounds, courts, and sporting fields at our 500-plus parks. Completed a weekend enforcement blitz to reinforce these rules and physical distancing in our parks. We deferred property taxes, the stormwater charge, and the water utility late payment for 3 months to provide residents and business with financial relief. We provided rent relief for tenants of city-owned facilities for 3 months and implemented free MyWay transit and rear door boarding to help create distance among passengers and operators. We will continue to deliver essential services to you and rely on such as your fire, transit, works, operations, maintenance, and 311. As I'm sure you can appreciate, this continues to be a rapidly evolving situation, and any changes will continue to be communicated to you, led by our lead agency, our Peel Public Health officials. Updates can be found at peelregion.ca/coronavirus. I urge all residents to please take this seriously. Thousands of lives are at stake. Please be kind to one another. Don't take more than you need at the grocery stores, and check in on those who are the most vulnerable in our communities. Before I hand it over to the experts, I want to thank you for your patience and cooperation during these uncertain times. I want to thank you for adhering to the advice being given by public health. And I want to thank Mississaugans and local businesses for stepping up to the plate and showing the world who we are as a city. I have no doubt our city will get through these trying times and come out even stronger than ever before. We're all in this together. And now I'll turn it over to Dr. Lawrence Lowe, Peel Medical Officer of Health, to provide us with an update. I will, of course, also be here to take your questions, and he will as well. Thank you very much, and over to you, Dr. Lowe.
Thank you, Madam Mayor, and good evening, Mississauga. As of this morning, we have 684 confirmed cases of COVID-19 in the region of Peel. 378 of them are residents of Mississauga. I want to be clear that the recent increases in cases, as well as the increasing severity that we are seeing in our healthcare system, are to be expected. We do know that what we are experiencing right now in the city of Mississauga in the region of Peel reflects the state of community transmission that we understood from about 2 weeks ago. We also grieve with many families that have lost their loved ones to COVID-19, regrettably 9 across the region of Peel as of this morning. But I want to stress again that these trends are expected and will continue over the coming week. That said, I want to remind that there is actually something that we can do, and that is essentially what we are doing to protect our first responders, our wider healthcare family, and our essential service and retail workers, staying home. I encourage everyone here to stay home as much as possible for yourselves, for your loved ones, and especially for those who must leave home to keep our community turning. By staying home, we are reducing the risk of transmission of COVID-19, and we are slowing the spread of the disease to protect everyone that I've just mentioned. Staying home and not letting up will mean that in the coming weeks, we will start to see the fruits of our sacrifices, but that means we cannot stop now. We must remember that viruses spread by adapting to human behavior, and COVID-19 preys on the one thing that most of us cherish, our time spent together in person, our social nature, our relationships. And it is for this reason we must reduce our in-person interactions as much as possible to slow the spread. For our part, Peel Public Health continues to respond. We will continue to answer to your questions on social media, our call center lines at 905-799-7700, which are open 7 days a week from 8:30 a.m. till 10 p.m., and certainly on our website, which Mayor Crombie correctly identified already as peelregion.ca/coronavirus. We will continue to aggressively follow up on every case and contact that we have in the community and investigate every outbreak to break chains of transmission and protect others from spread and saving lives. And we will coordinate with our community partners to put in place increased measures to promote physical distancing to protect our most vulnerable and our responders and healthcare workers from the ravages of this disease. So Peel Public Health will continue to do our part, but we will need you to do your part now more than ever. If you are sick or returning to Canada, federal and local orders are in force. You are advised to self-isolate for 14 days, staying at home, asking for someone else to assist with your necessities as needed, or risk fines. If you are well, we still encourage you to stay home as much as possible and emerge only for the most essential needs, groceries once a week, medicine or seeking health care, and exercise, which should be done on your own, with a pet, or with a partner from your same household. This advice is especially important for our seniors over the age of 70 and those with pre-existing medical conditions who should limit their time in public as much as possible. While you are out and about, I encourage you to maintain a physical distance of 6 feet or 2 meters from others. And if you are in an area where physical distancing is not possible, a non-medical mask may help to slow the spread of COVID-19. It's important to clarify that this is not by protecting you, but rather by protecting others from your own germs if you might be brewing a COVID-19 infection. If your business has been asked to close, if you have been directed not to use playgrounds or parks, if you've been asked not to host large gatherings, I ask you to please respect this. Nobody wants to see a fine or enforcement, and more importantly, no one wants to see our first responders and officers put their health in harm's way in order to protect yours and that of the community. And even if your work has been deemed essential, I encourage you to protect your employees and the public by putting measures in place to promote physical distancing. You can do so by limiting service to pickup or delivery, and if you cannot, limit occupancy or hours of operation to reduce crowding. And if you are able, I encourage you to consider closing anyway. Given everything that's happening, there's never truly been a better time to stay home and spend time with your family. Finally, with the spring holiday and lovely weather coming, remember that the best way to show your love and care during these unusual times is, in fact, to stay apart. I encourage you to explore celebrating virtually with family and friends, and certainly spend time outdoors, but doing so alone or in pairs. I urge you to be the difference, to flatten the curve and save lives. Stay home, stay safe, stay apart physically, but together in spirit, and help limit person-to-person spread. Thank you. And back to you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you. And I think we're going to pass it back off to Jody Shanoff, who will introduce the first question.
Very much, Madam Mayor, and thank you, Dr. Lowe. For those of you just joining us, my name is Jody Shanoff, and I'm your moderator for this evening's telephone town hall. I'm pleased to be here with Mississauga Mayor Bonnie Crombie, staff from the city and local health officials to discuss the measures the city has in place to control the spread of COVID-19. Just a reminder to those of you listening, you can press star 3 on your phone keypad at any time to get in line to ask a question of our panel. Our first question has come to us online this evening, and it has to do with city parks. The first question, Madam Mayor, is why are city parks, playground, courts, and leash-free zones closed until further notice?
Well, that's a great way to start off tonight's teletown hall. It's a great question, and really in an effort to reduce the spread of the virus, encourage physical distancing, we made the decision to close all facilities within our parks, our playgrounds, our sports pads, the leash-free zones for dogs, basketball courts, soccer fields, etc., all the gathering places. I've seen and heard from too many people that our residents were socializing with friends and families at playgrounds and in our parks and not maintaining safe distances of 2 meters or 6 feet or more. Enough is enough. Measures had to be taken. These additional steps were necessary, and they really will help us reduce the risk of transmission to those who are most vulnerable in our community. And those, of course, include people with underlying health conditions, compromised immune systems, pregnant women, and, of course, our seniors. And those are the most vulnerable in our communities. And then we realized that the best way to limit people coming into the parks in great numbers was to close the parking lots, and we regrettably had to take this measure. As other municipalities across the GTA have done so, the parking lots of our parks will be closed to vehicles and at some of the community centers that are adjacent to the parks as well. Let me be clear that the parks are open. You may feel free to walk to the park and take on a beautiful day, have a walk, hopefully with only one related person, not more. Keep your safe social distance, 6 feet, 2 meters from other people. That is the key. And if you see people gathered or socializing or using the facilities, the playgrounds and sports pads and leash-free areas, then please use your smartphone and call 311. Call our bylaw enforcement. We had a blitz last weekend, and they are ready to come down and make and educate our residents. But if education isn't enough, then they're certainly willing to ticket. Tickets for fines of using closed facilities is $750, so no laughing matter. We our bylaw folks re-educated 500 people. They stopped 500 people over the weekend and stopped 500 cars from parking in our lots. And they did issue 2 tickets skate park. In a skate park where 2 young men in their 20s refused to leave after they had been spoken to and were not keeping safe social distancing. So over to our Commissioner Gary. I'm not sure you want to add anything. That is the rationale for closing parks and parking lots, and it's just to discourage people from gathering. Thank you. Gary, want to add anything?
Sure, Madam Mayor. I think you covered most of it. I would just, to give the resident a sense of how many resources we put to this, it was really council who were concerned as the nicer weather moved in, and based on feedback from our residents, they wanted a stronger presence that you've described. So effective Friday the 3rd, we put, normally it's a corporate security team, and we only patrol parks or respond on a complaint basis. However, we turned that around. We added in an additional 25 officers, and we put a total of 30 security officers moved to proactive patrols. And we focused really on the hotspots, Madam Mayor, 10 destination parks, and we had static guards deployed at the entrance to the parks. And we had our normal 4 mobile cars available, but we added an additional 4 for a total of 8 cars. As you mentioned, 311 is open for the public's calls, and we've really relied on that. We've had over 100 reported incidents, and that's allowed us to get out and get to the people who are causing the issue. And Madam Mayor, just mentioned that the public can expect to have that strong presence in the parks continue for the next few weeks while the crisis is in place. With that, I'll throw it back to Jodie.
Thank you both for those responses. We're going to go live to a caller now. Our first caller is Richard, and Richard's got a question about express buses. Richard, go ahead with your question.
Good evening, Madam Mayor, ladies and gentlemen. I was wondering if it might be possible to get a couple of express buses running on here, Ontario, especially in the evening, and some of the other buses. The buses are pulling over and waiting, and we're sitting on this bus. We're very close together. The drivers have a lot of space, but we're kind of on, at these times, overcrowded buses. And you know, we're waiting at this side of the road. We're sitting looking at each other saying, you know, we'd rather be on an express bus going home. So I was wondering if we might be able to do that on here, Ontario, especially in the evening.
That's a great question. I'm going to pass this over to Jeff Wright or Joff Mironoff. Jeff Wright is our Commissioner of Transportation and Works, and I think he can answer that for us. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. It's a great question about MyWay services. So as you can appreciate, MyWay has undergone a significant change during this time, both in terms of limiting driver access, limiting access to the bus to ensure that we provide physical distancing to the transit operator, but also ensuring that we provide physical distancing on the bus itself for our passengers. So as a result of that, effective April 13th, so coming up next week, we will be resuming some express services, and in particular to this caller's question, the 103 here, Ontario Express, will resume with some reduced frequencies, making all local stops, and that's really to provide some additional service in response to some of the physical distancing restrictions that we've been experiencing. So I would encourage anyone who has questions about MyWay service changes will be published through our corporate communications channels, but also can visit myway.ca. Back to you, Jody.
Thanks very much for that. Our next question comes to us online. It's from Vicky, and Vicky asks, I'm just wondering if Trillium is still in desperate need of PPE, or have they received a lot of donations and purchases?
I'm going to start that, but I'm going to kick it to Michelle DeManuel, so get ready. Of course, they always need more, especially with our growing numbers. There is a couple of websites, trilliumgiving.ca/PPE for any monetary donations. And if you want to donate non-PPE items, they're looking for baby monitors, I know that, and other items, go to foundation@THB for TrilliumHealthPartners.ca. Michelle, why don't you explain what you're looking for? And I know the need is great, but the city is generous in giving and we shine. So please let us know how we can help you.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. So first off, let me also just say good evening and to thank our community for just the unbelievable show of support and encouragement for the hospital. As the mayor said, we have been receiving many donations in all kinds of form. Even tonight, for example, our healthcare workers are being appreciated by Paramount Foods, who has prepackaged meals for them as they come off shift tonight. I also had a pharmacist in the local area call me just last night at home, somehow tracked me down, and wanted to donate a box of masks that he had in his pharmacy that he felt were surplus, and he could give them to healthcare workers. And we're getting donations of gift cards and more. And so what I would say is, just to echo the mayor's comment, which is we are always willing to take in donations for supplies, equipment, and other things. And today the hospital has a solid foundation to be able to deliver your care in ensuring that we have the right equipment available to us. But we also know that this pandemic period could be sustained for some time. And so we would just continue to encourage our community to go online and continue to donate if you have an ability to do so in the area of supplies and equipment or in any other area where you think you have an ability to give. And we do appreciate it so much.
Much for those responses. Our next question comes to us live on the telephone. It's Khalad, and Khalad has some questions about testing and other measures seen in other parts of the world. Khalad, what's your question?
Yes, hi. Good afternoon, Mayor and all guests. I had a couple of questions, actually. When will we be seeing drive-through express testing like we see in other cities, and when will we be seeing disinfecting, general disinfecting of areas, general areas, like we see in other cities as well in the world? Thank you.
That's an excellent question. And maybe Dr. Lawrence Lowe or Michelle DeManuel again, what about drive-through testing that we've seen most recently in the United States? Who wants to handle that one?
Madam Mayor, maybe I can start on the second question, and then in respect of the testing, I can, Michelle, I may pass it over to you. So in terms of the latter question around disinfection of public squares, Peel Public Health was asked this question a few weeks ago, and we've actually looked at the evidence. There's actually not really great evidence at this time to show that that you would do that unless you have massive, widespread, propagated community transmission. So it's really important to mention, even though we have community transmission in the region of Peel right now, fortunately, with the physical distancing measures that have been put into place thus far, we haven't necessarily seen the same sort of severity yet entering into our healthcare system, though I know, as I've said in my initial remarks, that this is coming. Usually what has been done with the broader public disinfection have been in other settings where there has been significant spread. There, and further to that, there's also even just questions of just around the limitations of the actual piece. I mean, many of these squares are already filled with debris, et cetera. So it's sort of like a broader cleaning that needs to take place before the disinfection actually occurs. And there's some questions really about the overall effectiveness of the practice as seen worldwide. So it's certainly something that we're keeping our eye on, both from the perspective of how it's spread in our community, as well as really just how effective something along those lines is, as opposed to taking stronger physical distancing measures and really encouraging people who are the people that are essentially spreading this virus to stay home and limit their interactions as much as possible. And in terms of drive-through testing, I believe that's actually being explored. And if I'm mistaken, I apologize. But Michelle, are you able to speak to that?
For sure, Lawrence. Happy to. So at Trillium, we have three assessment centers up and running. Right now, we're able to accommodate the public need for testing through our two on-site centers at the Credit Valley Hospital and the Mississauga Hospital. And you would access those assessment centers through the either the emergency department. As you come in, you would be screened to go into the assessment area if necessary, and either through your family doctor or through Peel Public Health. And so while we have a drive-through capability, and we have the potential to lift another drive-through capability at the Mississauga site, we are able to right now accommodate our public need through our on-site assessment centers within the Mississauga and the Credit Valley Hospital. Over to you, I guess, Jody.
Thank you very much. Just a reminder to everybody on the call this evening, if you'd like to ask a question live of our panelists, please dial *3 on your keypad. You'll get a chance to speak to a call center. They'll ask you about your question, and you'll be put in a queue so that you can speak to us. Our next question comes to us from our listeners who are online. Subi has a question from the online feed. I'm just wondering what programs and services you have for seniors with regards to COVID-19.
And that's a great question. Of course, we've gone out of our way, but the best advice we can offer is that seniors, particularly anyone over 70, stay home. And I know Dr. Lawrence Lowe will say the same thing. It's very, very important that you can take a walk out with your significant partner or on your own. Try to have family and friends drop off your groceries or your medicines whenever possible. Why don't we ask Nancy Polsonelli to address this one, if we can, Nancy, at the Region of Peel. What are we doing for our seniors? And then if Lawrence has any other advice, that would be great, Dr. Lowe. Nancy?
Is he having trouble unmuting maybe? Dr. Lowe, do you want to jump in?
Sure, I'm happy to jump in and certainly, recognize. I think the advice that I've provided around seniors over the age of 70 is very much in line with what the Chief Medical Officer of Health of the province, as well as the Chief Public Health Officer, have mentioned. And it's not because we don't necessarily think seniors are strong and independent. It's just on the basis of clear epidemiologic study from other jurisdictions that have seen the surge of cases before us that suggests that seniors are more at risk of more severe outcomes. And so I think to the extent that you can try to rely on family and friends for your supports, that is certainly something that we're encouraging. And this is also a good time to remind that, you know, many seniors may not have, many supports that are available. So it is it's a good opportunity for Ms. Soggins, who are very civic-minded, as I know, to sort of be a good neighbor, be a good community partner, maybe just check in on folks that may need a little bit more help. In terms of specific programs, I would probably defer back to Nancy on that. I do know that there are a number of different programs that are being discussed at this point in time. All in all, I think we recognize that that there are certainly challenges that our seniors population will have with this COVID-19 pandemic. But we encourage you, to the extent possible, to really try to limit your interactions and rely on family, friends, neighbors at this time to make sure that things are there. And of course, getting the exercise, as Mayor Crombie had correctly identified as well. So.
And let's see if Nancy's now unmuted. Nancy, are you available to talk to the resources we have at Peel Region or what's posted on the website as a resource for seniors?
Hi, can you hear me?
There she is. Yes, we can, Nancy. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Mayor Crombie. I apologize for that. Not certain what happened. So, yes, there are a number of services we are providing our seniors and working with our seniors on. We are working very closely with home and community care, so a number of agencies out in the community to support our seniors in different ways. Our adult day centers, now that they are closed, there's support that we can provide our seniors at their homes, as well as support to our caregivers. We have a team who is working on connections that we can provide through our website that will give connections to our seniors on some nonprofit senior support organizations, places of worship that are doing extracurricular activities and support and reaching out on a daily basis. We are also working on with our local grocers in ensuring that they have times and set for our seniors as well. And then we also have outreach with our health department. So we are reaching out to not only our seniors, but also caregivers to support our seniors further. So if you would like, the best place to go is on our website at the region, which is appealregion.ca/coronavirus, and there is a section there just for our seniors that will allow some other opportunities for you to access services that are not only with the region but also with our community agencies. So back to you, Jody.
Thanks very much, all our panelists, for your responses this evening. A reminder to listeners, if you have a question you'd like to ask of our panelists, you can dial *3 on your keypad, and you'll be put in the queue with your question. People listening to us online with an audio feed can type a question into the website, and that will make its way to us as well to have a chance to answer. Our next question comes to us live on the phone. It's Vicki. Vicki's got a question about facility closures and taxes. Vicki, go ahead.
Hi, good evening. Thank you, everyone, for being there and taking these questions. I understand that you've stopped everything in the city till July 3rd, and you've deferred the taxes up until towards the end of the year. If this continues, what will happen with the taxes? Are they still going to be due the end of this year, or will there be further deferral?
Vicki, it's Mayor Crombie. We're going to monitor very closely. We're very hopeful that if everyone does what they're supposed to, we could get through this and peak in a matter of weeks and that it not drag on months and months. But in the event that it does, I'm sure there will be more deferrals. Why don't I pass this on to our Commissioner of Corporate Services, Gary Kent, who is also our CFO, and perhaps he can give you a better response. Thank you, Gary.
Well, thank you, Madam Mayor. I'll just check that my sounds working okay, and I'll assume it is.
You're on. You are on. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay, thank you. So, Vicky, thank you for your question. So the plan just now is if, for example, you paid monthly and you were paying April, May, and June, then they would be deferred to July, August, and September. However, there is a report coming towards the end of the month to Council, where we will be summarising what we've learned and also speaking to Council about the final tax bill. You're probably aware that there's an interim tax bill, and that's the one that's getting paid just now. That's about half the taxes. And then we do a final tax bill. So we are monitoring the situation very carefully, as Madam Mayor said. But we were very clear when we deferred the taxes that they would be collected by the end of the year. However, as the Mayor said, we are going to monitor that. Vicky, if you've got any questions on property taxes, you can call 311. They're open from 7 a.m. till 7 p.m. Monday through Friday. They will have all the latest information, and they can certainly keep you up to date. Thank you for your question, and back to Jody.
Thank you very much, Commissioner. Our next question comes to us online from Janice. And Janice is wondering what Mississauga is doing to protect residents in long-term care facilities.
Hi, it's Mayor Crombie. I'm going to ask Dr. Lawrence Lowe and Nancy Polsinelli from the Region of Peel to respond, please. Why don't we start off with Nancy, since we have some of those, we own and manage some of those facilities ourselves. Nancy?
Yes, thank you, Mayor Crombie. So yes, the region manages five long-term care homes, two of which are in Mississauga. There's a number of things that we have put in place to protect both our residents as well as our staff that work in our long-term care homes. The first is that access to long-term care centers is limited to staff and anyone that's performing essential services. So that would be our healthcare, maintenance, food delivery. Unfortunately, we've had to stop visiting of our loved ones to, again, make sure that our residents are kept well. The only time that visitors would be allowed would be one visitor, and that's unfortunately when it's at end of life. Coming into long-term care homes, and I can say as I speak for all five of our homes, this is pretty consistent across the homes in Mississauga. Every person coming into a center, then this includes staff, is actively screened. And what that means is it's a person-to-person interview, as well as temperatures are taken for all of our staff two times a day. And this is to ensure that no symptoms, they have no symptoms, and we also make sure that they've not traveled or have been in contact with anyone that may have COVID-19. We also are doing enhanced infection prevention and control protocols. So those have initiated, and that really is about enhanced cleaning on a regular basis. And the other we need to remember is when our staff are in contact with our residents, they are wearing PPE or personal protective equipment, and that is to ensure the resident's safety. So those are some of the work that's underway in our long-term care homes in order to keep our residents as well as our staff safe. Thank you.
Don't know if Dr. Lowe wants to add anything?
Absolutely. I actually do want to state that Peel Public Health is working with long-term care homes throughout the region to enact many of the measures that have been described for our own long-term care homes here at Peel. There is provincial guidance around what long-term care homes can do to prevent spread of COVID-19 amongst residents and staff that we are constantly contributing to and basically pushing out to all the homes in the region. And I just want to state that we are very, very careful, recognizing that these are populations that are significantly vulnerable, that are significantly at risk. And so any cases of COVID-19 that are discovered amongst residents in a long-term care home triggers immediate investigations and really in-depth actions taken by the health department to ensure that we are interrupting transmission and preventing spread within these facilities. So certainly many of the measures that Nancy had spoken about, CAO Polsinelli rather, had spoken about are being taken by the homes throughout the region, and we in Peel Public Health are supporting them as best as they can in protecting these vulnerable populations.
Thank you for that question. We're going to go live to another question next. We have Miriam on the line. Miriam's got questions about littering and safety equipment. Miriam, go ahead.
Hi there. I would like to thank you for this time to answer people's questions. So my question is, when I'm walking around the parks, I'm usually seeing masks littered everywhere. Where is your message to those people who are littering COVID-19 masks everywhere in the parks?
It's Mayor Crombie, Miriam. You know, I did my grocery run for the week yesterday, and I saw latex gloves being discarded in the parking lot and on the side of the road, as well as masks. I'm like, people, this is unacceptable behavior. In the best of times, that's littering. I think everyone should know better. Please, this is also posing a potential public health risk. Please properly dispose of gloves, masks, any item in the waste bin. They should not be discarded and left at the side of the road or in a parking lot or in a park. That is really very, very irresponsible behavior, and I'm very shocked to see it. Dr. Lowe, do you want to reinforce the health risk of this, please?
I absolutely do, Madam Mayor. Thank you for the opportunity to. It's important to remember that coronavirus can live on surfaces for up to 24 to 72 hours, even actually as has been seen in studies through certain pieces. And one of the most critical things about wearing a mask is essentially wearing a mask or any sort of personal protective equipment is making sure that you're taking it on and off properly. If you're not taking it on and off properly, you're not necessarily protecting yourself. And again, most non-medical masks, by the way, you're actually protecting others from yourself, which is kind of a reverse sort of personal protection. But the big thing is that when you're taking things off, it should be going into a garbage can appropriately, and you should be washing your hands. Any other time that you're taking off personal protective equipment and not doing that, you might be inoculating yourself. So I do wonder, if these are being left in parks or in streets and they're being taken off there, unless someone has some hand sanitizer handy, I'm wondering if they're actually washing their hands after they've removed these. And last but not least, you have to think about our city workers, our sanitation workers, who then have to pick this up. And really, again, I think one of the fundamental principles that I have concerns about in this pandemic, and you heard it in my initial remarks, is let's not have bylaw officers and police officers on the front line putting their health at risk to enforce compliance with physical distancing. Similarly, let's not have our essential workers that are keeping our cities clean putting their health on the line simply because people aren't able to put things into litter bins. I think it's important for us to do our part to slow the spread of this disease, and if anything, that means being very responsible about the personal protective equipment that you may be using.
Very much for those answers and for that question. Our next question comes to us online from Tommy, and Tommy asks, how many people in Mississauga have been tested to date?
Ooh, that's a good question. I'm going to take that right over to Dr. Lowe, or maybe
absolutely.
To Michelle Emmanuel. Thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you, Mayor Crombie. And I'll pass it over to Michelle once I'm complete with my answer, if you feel there's anything else to add, Michelle. From my perspective at the Region Appeals Public Health Department, it's a bit challenging for us because all of this is actually tracked provincially, and certainly you can check online at the Public Health Ontario Laboratory and the Ministry of Health's website. They track all the tests that are done provincially. Part of our challenge in tracking tests at the Region Appeal is that many of the people who use our testing facilities in Brampton and Mississauga don't actually live in the Region Appeal. So in terms of trying to figure out who exactly is getting tested, I've heard from our hospital partners that people will often come from, even places as far away as, points in southwestern Ontario. So really the best place to figure out testing and how much testing is being done is at a provincial level and through the Public Health Ontario Laboratory website. But Michelle, given that you folks are doing such great work with testing at Trillium Health Partners, I don't know if you had more specific insight into testing levels here in Mississauga.
Thank you, Dr. Lowe. And just to let people know, we are actually doing up to 500 tests a day here at Trillium Health Partners. Since we've been testing with Peel Public Health, we've tested 6,358 people. Of that, 438 have tested positive. So that's the activity that we're seeing at our hospitals. And back over to you, Jody.
very much for that. A reminder to listeners this evening, if you have a question for our panelists and you'd like to ask it live, dial *3 on your phone keypad and you'll get in a queue, and we'll be able to hear from you and answer your question. Our next question comes to us live from Milan, and Milan has a question about masks. Milan, go ahead.
Dr. Lowe earlier mentioned that masks, even homemade masks, can help prevent the spread of the disease. And I know countries like the Czech Republic have made it mandatory and set up laws to make it mandatory for all people to wear masks when they leave the household. Is the city considering this, or would this be a provincial matter?
That will be Dr. Lowe that will respond to that. I know that he is now recommending, as is Theresa Tam, the Federal Public Officer of Health for Canada, that wearing of masks, if you are asymptomatic, could prevent the spread to other people. And Dr. Lowe, you should really be the one responding to this one. Thank you.
No, thank you, Madam Mayor. It's a great question, and thank you, Milan, for the question. It's important to remember that the advice on masks hasn't really changed in terms of whether it is protective for you. At this time, the evidence is still pretty good that masks, particularly non-medical masks, don't necessarily protect you from COVID-19, especially if it increases face touching as you're adjusting it, especially if it's worn incorrectly, especially if it's not taken on and off properly, as I just mentioned with the previous question. However, as we've learned about this brand new disease, there has been increasing evidence to suggest that there is a pre-symptomatic period of transmission. So sometime around 1 to 2 days before someone may actually develop full-blown symptoms of COVID-19, that might actually lead to transmission. So what you have is a situation where you may be brewing a COVID-19 infection, but you aren't necessarily showing symptoms that allow people to take the appropriate measures. It's important for me to mention as well at this point that wearing a mask doesn't necessarily replace physical distancing for the reason that I mentioned already. But in general, it can be an added layer of protection that if you may have been inoculated with COVID-19, with the virus that causes COVID-19, you may be protecting others by not necessarily spreading your own respiratory secretions and droplets when you're talking with them, when you're speaking to them. And so for that reason, the evidence around masks has been evolving as we learn more and more about this brand new disease. In terms of whether we would mandate mask use right now, what I understand from the direction that has been coming from the federal government is that this is more of a permissive measure at the time. The suggestion is you can wear a mask and it will help to protect others from your germs if it is actually used properly. But in terms of sort of broader mandating it, we do know that on occasion masks can also give a false sense of security and may cause people to actually ignore physical distancing. And one of the most important things that we've been trying to drive home today is the importance of us actually maintaining that critical 2 meter or 6 feet distance when we are out in public, and ideally to not be out in public at all, ideally to be staying at home as much as possible, because the disease cannot spread if people are not meeting. So I think that that really should speak to the idea. So non-medical masks at this point, the recommendation is permissive. If you are out and about, it provides a potential extra layer for others around you, but it does not necessarily protect you, given the reasons that I've already mentioned before, and it does not replace physical distancing. And one final point, the most important point is, this is non-medical mask use that we're recommending, or at least that the permissive recommendation is about. We would really strongly recommend that medical grade masks still be kept for our frontline providers and our first responders. So thank you, and back over to you, Jody.
Thank you very much, Dr. Lowe. Our next question, it comes to us live from Pam. Pam has a question about the city's finances. Pam, what's your question?
Thank you. My question is that I've recently understood that we are going to be in a deficit of about $36 million at the end of April, and it could go up as high as $51.9 million by the end of June. But because previous councils and this council have done a really good job of having reserve funds, we may be okay. But we will have a need to replenish those reserves. And I'm wondering how we're going to be able to balance the needs of the city in replenishing the reserves and the ability of the taxpayer to pay it in a timely manner.
That's an excellent question, and thank you for your kind words as well. This council is very fiscally responsible. We all learn from Hazel's ways, I'll say. The numbers are a little worse than you projected, unfortunately, for all of us. It's about $51 million till June and about $60 million if it goes to the end of June. We do have healthy reserves. We are hoping that other levels of government will step up and assist us as well, but we don't have an ability to run a deficit. That's just not in our mandate. The federal and the provincial governments can, but we cannot. So we're not sure. We talked about possible measures at council today, should it come to that, and obviously we would defer projects, go line by line in our capital projects and see what could be delayed or canceled or deferred, and make some really hard choices. Certainly we do put 2% away each year for interest, debt, repayment, and infrastructure. And why don't I let the expert give you their best answer. So we'll go over to Gary Kent and he can address this as well, but certainly it's a very challenging time for everyone and all municipalities right across the country, the big city mayors across Canada, of which I'm a member, and the large urban mayors of Ontario. We both groups meet every week and talk, and we all have the same concern. What do municipalities do now that it is inevitable that we will be running large deficits? And I know that Toronto's in a much dire situation. They're running about $60 million a week, and we will see by the end of June. So over to you, Gary.
Well, thank you, Madam Mayor, and thank you, Pam, for what is a very informed question. I think between your question and the Mayor's answer, you've really touched on the highlights of the elements that we have to be looking at. Our reserves are there, and, you know, we're fortunate, as you said, that previous councils have made good financial decisions. They're all there, though, for a reason. And earlier today at council, I walked through the presentation, and you'll be able to watch that online. It'll either be up today or tomorrow if you want a more detailed answer. But certainly the reserves are there for a purpose, and part of the purpose is stabilization. I'll give you an example. If in 1 year our building permit revenue is lower than we would expect, we've got a reserve in our balance sheet that we can draw on so that there's no deficit. So that's one example, and there's others as well, winter maintenance, etc. However, these reserves are only set up across Canada, really, in municipalities for things like snowstorms or things like ice storms. They're not really set up to react to something as dramatic as this. It's the federal and provincial governments who have got who've got the fiscal firepower in order to provide a more dramatic solution. So that's why, as the Madam Mayor mentioned, we've reached out to the feds in the province and asked them to consider giving us a grant, or at least turning their mind to municipalities. We know they're busy. They've certainly announced a lot of programs aimed at many stakeholders. However, the municipality is not yet one of them. But we do know they're listening to us because they're talking to us, as Madam Mayor mentioned, and they're asking all the right questions. So we just want to give them a bit more time to try and respond and give us some solutions. And then we'll have to look at our reserves, and also our leadership team of staff will be looking at our existing budget, what's been approved but not yet implemented. And then, of course, we'll have to reset for 2021, as every other corporation will. The environment has changed. I'll just mention briefly, the Mayor mentioned that we're not allowed to run a deficit. The other question we're often asked is, can you borrow? Can you borrow to pay off the deficit? And the answer is no. You're not allowed to borrow for operating budget reasons. Our liquidity is fine, though, so we're not going to run out of money in the short term. However, our reserves, as I said, are not built to respond to something as dramatic as this. So stay tuned. We'll be back to council, and there'll be lots of discussions and debates. Thank you for your question, and back to Jody.
Very much for that. Our next question comes to us from Massimo. Massimo is live, and he's got a question about essential services. Massimo, what's your question?
Good evening, Madam Mayor, ladies and gentlemen. My question is regarding essential services. The business I'm in the roofing supply, is considered an essential service. I'm not sure if the list differs between municipality and provincial. And what I've also found is that with us being open, sometimes it causes people to sort of gather more, thus possibly having the virus spread even quicker, with myself living with an elderly parent in her mid-70s. Obviously, my concern is bringing the virus home with me, and it's, I'm sure, a concern of many of us. Thank you very much.
You know, it's an excellent question, how to protect people you live with, especially the elderly you live with, from the virus, particularly if you are an essential worker or a frontline worker or a healthcare worker. So maybe we'll ask Dr. Lowe to address that. But in the interim, the province has created an essential businesses list. They reduced it last week and limiting fewer businesses that are able to remain open. And if there is any doubt, I am about to give you a 1-800 number or 188 number. So we want to pick up your pen, and certainly we can, you could call 311 if you don't have the opportunity to write this down now, or check my Twitter feed. But certainly the number to check if you are on the essential businesses list and ask any questions is a Province of Ontario number, and it's 1-888-444-3659. I'll say it again, 1-888-444-3659. And maybe Dr. Lowe could comment on the essential businesses list, and also how individuals who may be essential workers or even frontline workers can protect those they love that they're living with, particularly if they're, you know, in the vulnerable group. Thank you, Dr. Lowe.
No, thank you, Madam Mayor, and thank you, Massimo. I will tell you that I actually am in the same situation as you, in the sense that my wife is a family doctor, and certainly she's on the front lines of this response as well. And so how we sort of protect ourselves and our two daughters in the midst of this is certainly something that is top of mind for us, even in my own home, as it is in my work life. So there's three things that I will quickly relay to you. I think the first thing is just really the importance of self-monitoring. And so certainly if you are starting to develop symptoms that are consistent with COVID-19, it's really important that you actually take steps to make sure that you first of all start to self-isolate. And second of all, and I didn't have the chance to mention this earlier when we were talking about testing, there is indications from the provincial level that they are going to be broadening testing or at least revisiting the testing strategy that is in place already. And I, for one, would welcome that. I think, certainly if you started to develop symptoms, hopefully you would be able to actually get tested, because at least from my perspective as a public health physician, it's useful for us to identify people who may have COVID. It allows us to identify and break chains of transmission. But self-monitoring is critical. So if you're noticing a new cough, if you're noticing a new fever, to the extent that you can remove yourself within the household, staying in a separate room, limiting your time spent face-to-face or wearing a mask while you are sick to prevent the germs from transmitting to other people. That's one of the first things that any of us who are essential workers on the front line should be doing. I think the second thing really speaks to what I had mentioned earlier on, just around the essential business pieces as well. And Mayor Crombie's given the phone line right now. It's essential for essential businesses to take steps to protect their employees and also the public on the premises. So, and putting in things around physical distancing. I know this is really challenging for folks in the construction industry, especially you mentioned you're a roofer. So I'm sure there are challenges maintaining physical distance while you're at work. But to the extent that you can try to maintain physical distance, that is critical for any business that has been deemed essential. Limiting hours, limiting the number of people on a site. I mean, these are some of the ideas and recommendations that have come down from the evidence. And so I think it's important for any essential business that remains open to think about how they can actually promote physical distancing to protect their staff and to protect their public that might visit them. And then the last piece is really goes back to what I had said in my earlier remarks. There are many businesses on the essential business list for which I really, really ask proprietors to sort of wonder, is now the time to really sort of be staying open, especially, you know, I would say probably the next month or two is probably the most critical time, at least in trying to plank the curve and slow the spread in the community. And honestly, there's so many things that have been curtailed and disrupted in our community that it may be time to revisit whether you actually want to be still operating in this environment, you know, potentially exposing you know, staff and public to risk. We know that it's circulating in the community. We know that any open venue still represents a potential venue for transmission. And so to the extent that there's never really been a better time to just stay home and have all your employees stay home with their families, you know, and if you can afford it, recognizing that it is a sacrifice, you know, I really do encourage, even if you're listed essential, this is not the time for a half measure to say, well, we're essential, let's keep going. I think it should really be about how do I actually protect the health and well-being of my clients and the staff that I serve. And maybe it's time to at least, even if I'm essential, take a pause and make sure that everyone's safe. So, I mean, I think those are the three points that I'll address to you, Massimo. I know that wasn't as quick as I had intended, but it was a good question. I hope my answer is helpful. So thank you, and thanks for the question. Over to you, Jody.
Thank you very much for that response. Our next question comes to us live. It's from Mohan Lak, and the question is about getting tested. Mohan Lak, what's your question? Hi, Mohan Lak, are you still with us? Not, I'm happy to ask the question that I see on my screen. Mohan Lak was asking, where can I go and get tested? Do I have to book it, or can I just show up?
Thank you, Jody. You know what? And I think I'm sure there are many people wondering the same thing. So I'm going to ask Michelle DeManuel, because I know that our friends at Trillium Health Partners are doing the testing. And Michelle, do you want to please tell us where the sites are and do they need an appointment? Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. So ideally, if you were seeing your family doctor or calling Peel Public Health, they would schedule you in to have a test at either our Mississauga or our Credit Valley sites. But if you're feeling very unwell and need to come into the emergency department, you would be then triaged in to have a test if you had a fever, respiratory issues. Also, those who are 60 years and older would be tested as well.
Thank you very much for that. Just a reminder to our listeners that if you have a question for our panel this evening on COVID-19 and the response in Mississauga, please dial *3 where you can get in a queue and ask your question live. Our next question came to us online. It's from David, and David asks the following. My wife is due in early May at Credit Valley Hospital. What is the situation there regarding keeping the birthing section safe from COVID-19?
Well, I'm sure there are folks wondering about the same thing. So, Michelle, back over to you, please.
Madam Mayor, I've got Dr. Lauren Small here with me. He's the head of our infection prevention and control group. So I'm going to ask Dr. Small to answer that for our listeners.
Thank you, Michelle, and thank you, Madam Mayor. I want to assure everybody that we have a very thorough screening process and enhanced precaution program in place throughout the hospital. And we have a very large obstetric platform. And because of this, we have specifically worked with the program because of the sensitive nature of the service. And we are using a very low threshold to use extra precautions in the labor and delivery area, as well as in the mother and baby unit and neonatal ICU, because it is our priority to keep these areas safe, both to the staff as well as to patients and families coming into those areas. So you should be assured when you come for any of those services that you will be well protected. Thank you.
Thank you very much for that response. Our next question comes to us live from Deborah. Deborah's a nurse working in downtown Toronto, and she's got a question about commuting. Deborah, go ahead with your question.
Hi. I just want to say thank you very much for all first responders and for everybody that's doing everything they can, and to Bonnie Crombie for this. I have some concerns. I wish I was working in Peel, but I'm not. I'm a nurse, and I have to work in Toronto, and I am terrified driving to and from work because there is an excessive amount of aggression that I am perceiving on the road, on the 403 and the 401. People really speeding, people weaving. It's not everybody, but there are significant people that don't use indicators, really are speeding and are whipping around, and it's quite terrifying. I'm actually having more anxiety about driving to and from work than I am about being exposed to COVID-19 on a daily basis. So I don't expect an answer. I just want to put it out there to say, I know the police are stressed, really stretched, and I don't know what we can do, but I wish we could really get some communication out there to stop this speeding.
Deborah, it's Mayor Crombie, and I'm going to ask our Chief Nish to respond as well. But let me say that I have seen the same thing, and it's very concerning, and I don't know what the cause is. And, in fact, I'll also share with you that I crossed at a green light at an intersection, and after I crossed the first lane, the car standing at the red light ran through the red light. I was shocked, and that was not the first time I've seen it, and this has been recently. Is Chief Nish on the phone, please? Do you want to? Are your officers seeing the same thing, Chief?
Yes, Madam Mayor. Thank you, Debbie, for the question. And notwithstanding the fact that you're likely traveling, provincial highways that are OPP bound, you'll probably see that, generally speaking, because of the reduction in volume of traffic on the roadways, there are some liberties being taken by motorists in that space. And one of the key messaging we've been trying to get out is that that's not a free ticket to take advantage of the open space. So I think just to backtrack a little bit is that we've been monitoring this. This is one of the observations and trends that we're quite conscious about because of the change in the roadway environment. We know statistically we've had a reduction in motor vehicle collisions, which is indicative of volume of traffic. However, we know that the individual behavior is increasing. We have engaged with some significant public communication, but as you can imagine, the individuals that usually are engaging in maybe more liberal driving behavior aren't the ones necessarily looking at our public service announcements. So as a result, at least I can speak to the roads within the city of Mississauga and Peel region. Our officers, although, you've acknowledged, are being somewhat augmented in their demands, this is a number one priority. I think absent the pandemic, if you went into any municipality, neighborhood, road safety and traffic safety almost is always number one regardless, and now is no different. So it has not changed. All I can do is speak to the roads within our region is that we still have our officers enforcing traffic. That has not changed. We haven't retracted that type of service delivery and enforcement. And where there are complaints, especially on larger roadways within the city of Mississauga, we're continuing to place emphasis on traffic enforcement. But to your point, we will take back the feedback in terms of, a push and surge on messaging, at least within our roadways. I know we're working closely with the OPP and other neighboring jurisdictions, and it's not necessarily unique to us. Just trust that you continue to get to work safely and within your own realm, be more alert. I think, generally speaking, back to the statistics I said to you, you are relatively safe. It's definitely a change in behavior. I'll turn it back to the moderator.
Actually, Jody, it's Dr. Lowe. Could I quickly jump in with a quick response as well to add to Chief Nish's excellent answer? So Chief Nish, that was an excellent answer. And I think I wanted to first and foremost say, Donna, thank you very much for the work you're doing on the front lines. Certainly, being part of the healthcare family, we know that those of you that are are out there in the hospitals, it's absolutely, the work you're doing is absolutely critical. And I know that your commute is, it really should be the least of your worries, at least in terms of the great work that you're doing. I wanted to sort of clarify as well, this really speaks to the advice that you've heard clearly from me and Mayor Crombie and the rest of the panel all night, that people really should be staying home unless it's absolutely essential. And I think to some extent, I actually have a reverse commute from you. I actually live in the city of Toronto, but I travel to Peel to work when I need to. And ideally, I'd be working from home, but similar to you, I actually need to be in the office sometimes just in the midst of this pandemic response. But it really speaks to just the need. Like I and Mayor Crombie will attest to this. I have daily calls with her and the rest of the mayors around the region. I'm always asked, well, how are we doing with the physical distancing? And I always give a little bit of a traffic report as to sort of the number of cars that I've seen on the road. It really still strikes me how many cars are still out there on the road and how many people are still traveling to destinations. And I can't say it in as clear terms as I can. Like, I mean, we really should be staying home at this point in time and really trying to slow the spread of COVID-19. So to the extent that people are speeding and cutting you off and weaving through traffic, I'm not really sure what people are in such a hurry for in the middle of a global pandemic that they need to be both out and not staying home, but in such a rush. So, I mean, I think I just wanted to highlight, you know, certainly Chief Nish's answer is great, but the police have their hands full with a lot of other things that they're enforcing. And I really want to reinforce with our residents that the key message here to slow the spread is to stay home as much as possible and to only emerge for essential reasons, which is basically groceries once a week, medical appointments, medication, or to exercise on your own with a pet or with someone else in your household. So thank you, Jody, and back over to you.
Very much for that. Our next question has come to us online. It's from Maria, and Maria asks the following: will the city be canceling summer camp programs at community centers?
It's a really good question, Maria, and I believe some of our programs, well, certainly the March break programs and spring programs have been canceled, and they would have started by now. It's something we're going to evaluate, and I'm going to ask our Commissioner Paul Mitchum, who is our Commissioner of Community Services, who oversees all our community centres, to respond to you, please. Paul?
Thank you, Maria, for your question with respect to camps. Really, unfortunately, at this point, there really is no definitive answer to your question. You might know that today at Council, the city canceled all festivals, events, and programs out through July the 3rd. So July 3rd at this point really is the window that we can see. We can see all the way to July 3rd, but not beyond. What I would expect then, we're continuing to monitor. We're continuing to take the advice of the Medical Officer of Health. And somewhere in the next 4 to 6 weeks, we'll come back to you, come back to the community with respect to what our plan is moving forward into July and August. We're hoping, of course, that programs will run, but that's something that we'll determine more closely, probably in 4 to 6 weeks. And if you just watch our website or our media messaging, you'll see that for sure. Thank you so much, and back to Jody.
Commissioner. Our next question is live from Anne. Anne has questions about physical distancing. Anne, go ahead with your question.
Thank you for taking my call. I was out for a walk today to get some physical exercise for myself for a brief time. I was passing through a park that has a children's playground and baseball diamonds, and I observed an older couple sitting on a park bench near the children's playground, a cyclist who had taken a break on another park bench, and a group of five, probably teenage girls, distancing themselves but sitting in a circle on the ground having a visit. As a citizen, is it my role to say something to them? Should I suggest that they're not following the rules, or should I suggest that I'm going to call 311? I don't want to cause trouble, but I'm just wondering what I should do.
Hi, it's Mir Crombie. You know, I've seen the same thing, and because it's my nature, I usually speak up and say, hey, this isn't physical distancing, folks. Please separate, or, you know, we'll bring bylaw over here. So I'm sure you don't want to get yourself in the middle of situations. The best thing to do at that point is to call 311, and we have bylaw officers all over the city, and they can come down and address it themselves. My kids call me affectionately Mrs. Budinsky to Budinsky into any situations. So there you have it. But, sir, we will try to re-educate, as I said earlier, or issue $750 tickets if people aren't cooperating. So what we don't want, we want people to respect physical distancing in the parks and in public places, and that means no more than 5 unrelated adults. However, you know, I think it's safest with 2 related adults. Never mind. People shouldn't be socializing right now. This isn't the time for dinner parties, tea parties, or play dates, or socializing. It just isn't. Also, anyone caught in the using our facilities, that's the playgrounds, basketball courts, soccer fields, leash frees, those facilities are closed. So if you see that, please call 311 as well. Or anyone tampering with the gates on our parking lots, please call 311. And sadly, we have seen some incidents of vandalism. You know, people trying to cut through the mesh in the fences to enter our playing fields, and that's very, very unfortunate. So please call 311 if you see any of that. We did have a blitz last weekend, 30 officers out, 500 residents were educated, shall we say, and 500 cars were turned back from parks. And as I mentioned earlier, 2 individuals in skate parks were issued tickets. I don't know if anyone else wants to add anything. Is this Gary or Bailiwick? Do you want to add? Or Dr. Lowe, you know, what would Anne have done in this situation? Should she have broken it up? Probably not. Call 311. What do you suggest, Dr. Lowe?
Well, Madam Mayor, I you know, generally wouldn't suggest approaching folks unless there's an a clear immediate sense of danger. I mean, certainly calling 311 and having it go forward. I would actually say it's not even it really shouldn't be your call, Anne. It really should go back to what I said in my earlier remarks at the beginning. This is not the time for half measures and saying, oh, can we just get together with 4 people instead of, you know, 6 kind of thing. I think we need to really just go back to the key message, which is ideally you should be staying home and you should be basically just going out for essential reasons. Essential means essential. So certainly if you're needing groceries, that's absolutely fine. Go out and get your groceries. But at this time, you know, going to visit friends, going to visit other people, we live in an era where we have the great fortune of technology. To actually do this. And I was actually sent a meme, since we're talking about technology, by a friend, where apparently the city of Kelowna, during the Spanish pandemic, issued a similar order where groups of 10 were prohibited. But you can imagine at that time when you're actually having people sit around in 1918 or 1919, there were a lot more challenges in terms of staying connected with others. And we're actually very fortunate to live in an era where there's all kinds of apps, all kinds of abilities for us to remain, you know, socially together while physically distant. So I think it's less of a question of should you be getting involved with these folks, but certainly calling 311 if there's an egregious violation that's occurring. But really speaking directly, for me in my role, speaking directly to these people, essential means essential. And ideally, if you can stay home and stay, and help to protect yourself and others in the community, I think that's probably our first line of defense. So thank you, Madam Mayor, for the chance to respond.
Back over to Jody.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Madam Mayor. And thank you for the questions. We have had another one come into us online from Tommy. Tommy asks, can this virus spread through the air ducts and AC units in condos and apartment buildings?
That's an excellent question. And in fact, I even was thinking about the elevators. So why don't we have Dr. Lowe, who's the expert on these things, try and respond to this one as well. Dr. Lowe?
No, thank you very much, Madam Mayor. And so certainly at this time, the best evidence suggests that the virus that causes COVID-19 is actually spread through droplet or contact. So this is basically large respiratory droplets, things like saliva or what you might secrete with a sneeze or a cough, landing within a 2-meter or a 6-foot distance around where you might be. There were lots of questions and concerns around whether there was aerosol transmission of COVID-19, of the virus that causes COVID-19. A lot of that was really around cruise ships and trying to understand, as you all know, there was a lot of cruise ships in the news, and they were trying to figure out why there was so much spread on cruise ships. The suggestion so far, at least in the studies that I've read, was that that was through surfaces that were contaminated, going back to what I had talked about around surfaces, and less about aerosol transmission through HVAC systems or otherwise. That said, as I mentioned with masks earlier on, science around this new disease is constantly evolving, and certainly things may change in the future. But for the time being, the best evidence that we have right now is that this is not transmitted as an aerosol, and that this is essentially transmitted through droplet. And that is why the physical distance of 2 meters and 6 feet is so crucial to protect your health and prevent the spread of this disease in the community. So thank you, and back over to you, Jody.
Thank you very much, Dr. Lowe. Our next question also came in online. It is from Eglon, and Eglon asks, if an ambulance is called for a person in medical distress, are they automatically tested for COVID-19?
Excellent question, and I know that Chief Peter Dundas is on the phone, and he can handle this one.
And thank you, Mayor Crombie, and thanks for the question. I think the question is referring to the patient that we're carrying. And that would be determined at the transfer point with the physicians in the emergency department through the assessment. So we would take you in if we have identified you as a positive screen. We ask a number of questions, and we will treat whatever is your symptoms at the time, and we'll take you to hospital. Will convey that information to the attending ER physician, and they will make a determination at that time if you should be tested or not. Dr. Lowe may be able to provide a little bit more on the testing as it goes through the emergency, but that's what our process would be. Over to you, Dr. Lowe.
Yeah, no, thank you, Chief Dundas. And so certainly, as was mentioned, if you actually are brought to emergency by paramedics, there is a medical directive in place that you were probably insignificant enough to stress that you needed to be brought to the hospital. And so my assumption would be that if you were there, you're in significant respiratory distress, I would imagine any emergency physician colleague of mine would probably swab you and test you for COVID-19, just given the fact that we are seeing community transmission in the region of Peel. So thank you for the question, and back over to you, Jody.
Thank you very much. Our next question has come to us from Marie. Marie is live, and she's got a question about rent. Marie, what's your question?
Yes, hello. Thank you for taking my call. I was just wondering, is the city or maybe the province going to do anything further regarding rents and landlords, or did they kind of figure they've done enough? I live in a small building, and the landlord basically says that everybody has to pay their rent in full. There's really nowhere to call to ask advice on it or anything, so I was just wondering if you could assist me with that.
Hi, it's Mayor Crombie. I'm going to ask Gary to get ready to respond, but first let me just say that we have deferred property taxes, and we are hoping that landlords would pass that deferral on to their tenants. So that's unfortunate to hear. I know that many landlords have made arrangements with their tenants because this is, of course, a crisis and a pandemic, and we need to help each other at this time. So Gary Kent is our Commissioner of Corporate Services, and I will I'll ask you to respond as well. Thank you, Gary.
Well, thank you, Madam Mayor, and thank you, Marie, for the question. I do not have much good news for you, I'm afraid. The city doesn't have any insight as to who are landlords and who are tenants, and we have no jurisdiction to enforce anything. What I can tell you is the province is very aware of this issue. I can also tell you that the city and city councillors are encouraging landlords, and we have heard from some who are really saying it's situational. If I could use my own family as an example, my son was laid off and he lives in downtown Toronto in a basement apartment, and he contacted his landlord, and the landlord said, well, pay me $400 less this month And let's see if the government helps them or the banks help the landlords, because of course the landlord is a business as well. So that landlord in that case, went partway. It's also a big issue for businesses. We know several small businesses who, might make the first payment on their rent, but maybe not the second one. So this is why we've been speaking to the province. So far, I cannot offer you any phone number or any advice. Perhaps if you contact your MPP and maybe speak to them. But I'm sorry, I don't have anything more positive other than a lot of people do understand this is a critical issue for residents and for businesses. And I did mention that the city is encouraging landlords and residents and businesses to speak so that they can understand the situation, because it's in the landlord's best interest to still have a tenant when all this is over and done. Thank you for your question, and back over to Jody.
Gary, our next question has come to us from Ravi. I'm going to read Ravi's question aloud. Ravi wants to know, when can we expect the flattening of the curve in Peel Region?
Oh, if we had a crystal ball, we were hopeful it'd be by Easter, but it doesn't look like it. But person with more insight than me is Dr. Lawrence Lowe, and I believe this is our final question tonight. So, Dr. Lowe, whatever the message is that you haven't yet conveyed, this is your opportunity. Help us flatten that curve. Stop the spread.
No, thank you very much. Thank you very much, Madam Mayor, and thank you, Ravi, for the question. It's very difficult to tell exactly when this is actually going to happen, but we do know that the measures we are taking today will be reflected in our case counts 2 weeks hence and reflected in our healthcare numbers four weeks hence. So really it's a matter right now of keeping up with the physical distancing, and then hopefully we'll see a plateau in the cases that we're actually seeing now, because what we are seeing in our case counts and the rise right now is reflecting the state of our community from about 2 weeks ago. And so if you remember 2 weeks ago, we were just about a week into the emergency order. A bunch of people had come back from March break. So understandably, of course, there was still a lot of possibility for transmission, spread, and life was still sort of semi-normal, even though we were in the midst of major curtailments. Hopefully, in the coming months, we will start to see a plateau. And then once the plateau comes, we need to essentially make sure that the healthcare picture catches up following that. And then once those are basically together and we start to see new cases start to fall, then we'll be able to look at, well, do we start to release, do we start to relax physical distancing measures, all these other pieces. It will depend on a number of things. We'll want to make sure our healthcare system is not overwhelmed. We'll want to make sure we have adequate testing capacity. But the reality is that we're probably looking at another 12 weeks altogether, some weeks to get up to the top, some weeks to make sure that we've actually managed to plant the curve, and then some weeks to actually start seeing if tinkering around the edges might work. And so that's why we've been working pretty much with a date of June 30th, July 3rd, as I know the City of Mississauga took their decision today in council. And it's a matter of just continuing to monitor. But it really speaks to the need for all of us to do our part and to really physically distance and stay home as much as possible in the midst of this critical period. So thank you, Madam Mayor, for the question and for relaying the question. And back to you, Jody, to wrap up.
Thank you so much. We are indeed coming to the end of our time together this evening, and we've had so many important questions and robust conversation tonight. Mayor Crombie, do you have any closing thoughts to share with our audience regarding tonight's COVID-19 telephone town hall and the city's measures to protect their health and their safety?
Thank you, Jody. Yes, of course I do. And what a wonderful evening and some very thoughtful questions that you all asked tonight. I want to thank everyone for participating. I know people are anxious and there's tensions. Tensions are running high. And I want to assure you that we're all committed. We are dedicated to keeping you up to date. We are doing everything in our power to slow the spread of the virus, to plank that curve, as Dr. Lowe and Irene Davila and Dr. Tam have all said as well. So I want to thank the panelists for joining us tonight. We try to make sure that each of you got at least one question. A special thanks
shout out goes out to Dr. Lowe, our Chief Medical Officer of Health, who took most of the questions. Michelle DeManuel, our President and CEO of Trillium Health Partners, who took quite a few as well. And they have both taken time off from the front lines to join us tonight. So kudos to them. Thank you for being here with us tonight. We also want to thank the thousands of healthcare workers and all of those who are working to keep us safe. They're working, so we don't have to. We want you to stay healthy and ensure that the shelves remain stocked. Thank you to those grocery workers. Those are our newest heroes, and the transport truck drivers, the gas station attendants, etc. Those shelves remain stocked because of those grocery store workers and making sure that we have what we need in every aisle. Please stay home as much as possible. It's the only way we're going to save lives. We will continue to give you updates on what we're doing as a city, but updates can be found at mississauga.ca/coronavirus and on Twitter at City Mississauga, or my personal one too. We have lots of information at Bonnie Crombie. The health information for that, please visit peelregion.ca/coronavirus. And if you are displaying any symptoms, use the province's self-assessment tool at ontario.ca/coronavirus, and please call Peel Medical Health at 905-799-7700. I'll say it again, 905-799-7700, should you have any concerns, and they will let you know what you should do. We must work this together. We must work together, and together we will get through this, because brighter days are ahead. Be kind to you, be kind to everyone. If you're looking for opportunities to donate, trilliumgiving.ca/PPE, or to the food bank. There is a food bank challenge on right now. Local entrepreneur and philanthropist Mohammed Fiki will match donations and retweets up to $10,000. So please go to his Twitter feed or mine, or donate at food_bank, which is the Mississauga Food Bank. Thank you, everyone, for joining us tonight. Please, good night all, and be safe. Stay healthy, stay safe, and stay home. Good night.
Thanks to everyone for being part.